Take your Bibles just a minute, if you would. I need to find something different. Don't put that up, Cheyenne. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John chapter 3. It's where I think we're going to be. God just changed my message. If I can find, now I don't even know how to use my laptop. Trying to find my verses. And all I got is my electronic. Let me use that right there. Thank you. I forgot how to pull up my scripture here. For some reason, God took that message away from me. He's laid something else on my heart. I don't know why, because this is so familiar. John chapter 3. Let's stand for a moment. Ooh, I don't like it when that happens. I mean, I like it when it happens, but I don't like it when it happens. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. A ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, I know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily. When Jesus says verily, verily, you verily, verily, very much need to listen. I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And the winds bloweth where it hasteth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak, and we do not, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray just now you'd fill my mind. You've overwhelmed my heart. I pray, Lord, that you would fill my mind with the message that you would have delivered. I confess, it's frightening to stand here knowing that you've put something else in my heart, and that I've studied is taken away. So, Lord, I know that this is from you. I know, I don't know who, I don't know where. It could be any of us, including me. But, Lord, I just pray that whatever the word is for today, that it would not return void, that it would accomplish what you have sent it to do. And I pray just now that you'd anoint me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. May I preach this message with the power of the Holy Spirit anointing. May the word go forth and touch hearts and minds for your glory. If there's one here today that's not saved, maybe there's one home listening that's not saved. Maybe they've been a part of our church for many, many years and just never, ever yet been saved. I pray, Lord, that you'd do that work that only you can do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. When I think about what's going on today and the condition that our nation is in with this pandemic, and I see here that because of this, church fellowship hurts. It's weak. It's in need of something happening to bring about that unity that we're supposed to have. But see, there's something that's needed, I believe, to make that happen. Just because our name is on the roll here or some other church around our nation, if our name was on every church roll from here to California, that's not good enough to get us to heaven. Here is the most impressive man, if you would. One who was filled with the knowledge of the Word of God. A man who knew exactly what the Word said when it comes to anything about Israel. He knew the laws. He knew the sacrifices. He knew everything. He was a man in a great position, much like many people are today in churches, in positions. And those positions exalt them or lift them up and make them, at least for the eyes of others, make them feel like that's an important person. So here Nicodemus is, and I know he was honored by all the people. The Bible says that he was a man who knew the laws of God. He knew what it meant to be in temple. He knew what it meant to do the sacrifices. He knew what it meant to keep the laws and commandments that God had given. He knew exactly how to do that. He was an expert in it. Matter of fact, he would be called, I guess, a doctor of doctors. He knew it. He had been educated well. But just like a lot of us, We get educated about what church is, and we forget who Jesus is. We forget what it means to be a follower of Christ. We forget what it means to be born of God. And we get in this little rut, this little row here thing, and it's got to go this way or it's got to go that way. Nothing can upset the apple cart, because if it does, it can't be of God when God is trying to stir our hearts. I've never seen a time in my life when this nation of America did not need to come to Christ. And I mean spiritually. I'm talking about the church. Look at the church. The church is hurting because of the inability to come together, because I believe that this pandemic, and it's real, I believe that it is being used mightily by the enemy of God. He has put so much fear in our heart, and there should be a proper amount of fear, but it cannot grip us. It cannot overwhelm us, because we serve a God who can do all things, and nothing is impossible with Him. God can draw this nation together under the wing of Christ in a moment. He could do that. But He has laid out for us a Savior who loves us and cares deeply about us. And just like Nicodemus, we might think that we're right where we need to be when we're not where we need to be, because we haven't done what God said. Oh, you know, we hit this mark, we hit that mark, we do this, we do that. We got certain markers, if you would, to line me up where I can at least call myself a Christian. Well, listen to me. Going to church don't no more make you a Christian than standing in the garage makes you a car. Being a part of the body of Christ takes something supernatural. It's not by the record keeper putting your name on the board and saying, here, they have joined on this day. Nicodemus was a part of the operation. Nicodemus knew what come next. And see, a lot of times I think churches is like this. Churches come together at church time, but churches aren't churches any other time. We miss that unity. We miss that togetherness. And I'll say this. This pandemic has really, really caused havoc. It really has. Number one, I don't want to make somebody in our congregation sick. I don't want to get sick. But I know this. What's going on right now in the people's hearts is, I think we're settling for less. We're settling for less. All right, here's Nicodemus. Comes to the master of the universe. People come to me all the time for advice. They really do. They want some counseling. I sit down with them, I talk with them. They never listen to what you say anyway. Really, they don't. Not much. Very little. Nicodemus knew what that was. He comes to Jesus. Because Jesus got his attention. That's what he does. He first gets our attention. There's something that he does, some way, somehow, that just catches our eye. You know why? Because we cannot ourselves bring ourselves to him. He brings himself to us. He's the one that comes down. He's the one that speaks to our heart. He's the one who draws us. And I'm thankful for that. You know why? Because as a sinner, we'll run so far dead, because dead can't do anything but be dead. But we'll run so far as a dead man trying to do what it takes a live man to do, and we miss out on the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. Nicodemus said, I know there's something different about you. Something is completely different about you. I've never seen anybody like you before, because you've got to have some connection here with God. Because you do some things, and I know that you do those, and the only way you could do that is that you're of God. So Jesus said, simple, Nicodemus, you're a leader. You're a man of authority, Damon Lee Version. You're a man of authority. If anybody should know what needs to be done, you should know what needs to be done, and yet you ask what needs to be done. I can almost imagine Jesus saying this or thinking this anyway, which whatever he thinks was perfect, maybe he wouldn't even thought this. If you don't know and you're a leader, what in the world is the people that look at you going to think? If they're looking an answer and they're looking at you and you don't know the answer, what are they going to do? And I think Nicodemus, although he was very religious, and I think he was sincere. See, when we come to Christ, there's something happens within our very being, in that inner man, in the heart of man, something happens. We lay dormant and dead for years, born dead, separated from God, and we lay in that condition until the power of the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. And he begins to work in our heart. He begins to call us. He begins to work at a place and bring us to where we can understand some things, just as Jesus did Nicodemus. He begins to open our eyes that we might see. He helps us understand that we are lost and undone, that we are separated from him, and he loves us so much. Nicodemus said, what can I do? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again. Now, I want to say that is not a Baptist term. I've been told before, well, that's a Baptist thing. No, it's not. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of God. So we have to understand that being born again is not a Baptist thing. It's a Jesus thing. And what is it that has to be done? How can I be born again? Well, I guess what? We can't. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves new. Nothing we can do to make ourselves afresh. Nothing at all that we can do. Nicodemus said, can I go back to my mother's womb? Now, listen. Some of us would be in a pickle if we had to go back to our mother's womb. Well, truly all of us would be, wouldn't it? But I cannot even imagine it right now. And Jesus said, well, you got to go back to your mother's womb, and my mother's passed. But Jesus said, you must be. He said, how can I do that? I'm a grown man. And Jesus said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. It's not just good enough to be born a natural birth. It don't matter that you're born in the Jewish family. It don't matter that you're on the list of the leaders. It don't matter that you're that you are a lawyer of the Word of God, of the laws of God, of Israel. You have to understand, you have to be born of the Spirit. Because being born just of the flesh is just flesh. We can clean up the flesh, and you know what we're cleaning up? The flesh. We can do not one thing to clean our spirit. Not the first thing. We are absolutely helpless when it comes to that. And a lot of folks sat in church, and they are sitting there and has never been born of the Spirit of God. I remember doing a revival, and I shared this with you before, doing a revival, and this elderly man, he had to be somewhere near 90, sat in this long church, and the aisle was, I don't know how many seats was in it, but it was long. And at invitation time, he stepped out and started coming towards the aisle, or towards the front. He was so slow. Bless his heart. He couldn't hardly walk. And I had stepped down over to the front pew. And he come in. And he got the pastor by the hand. And he said, "You know, I've been coming to this church for more than 50 years. And I don't think I've ever asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin." I thought, and I said, "Wow, that's nice." And the preacher said, "Oh, come on, bud. You've been here a long time. You all right? Don't worry about it." I'm thinking, what are you saying? Maybe he is old. Maybe he has forgotten what he's done because of his age. But if that was on his heart, somebody needed to sit with him and talk with him. After the service, I went over to him. Because too many times we judge people, and we shouldn't judge people, but we do judge people, either they're saved or they're lost. But the truth of the matter, we don't have the right to do that. What we got the right to do is love them. If they're not his, love them till they are his. And when they are his, love them still, because they're not finished yet. So Nicodemus says, "What I do?" He said, "Well, you got to be born again. You got to be born of the Spirit." And here's what he said. He said, "Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the desert, so shall the Son of Man must be lifted up." Here's the thing about this. When the serpents came in and began to bite the people and they began to die, Moses was told, "You take and you form a gold serpent and you put him on a pole." And that gold represented the purity of Christ. And they raised that pole up with that serpent on it. And here's what he said. He said, "Whoever is bitten and looks upon that serpent on that pole will live. If they don't look, they'll die." He didn't say, "Okay, here's what you got to do. Get out the Romans Road. Make sure that you get them down to Romans Road." He didn't say do the ABCs. He didn't say you had to go and you had to be baptized. He didn't say you had to go and you had to join this society or that society or whatever it is it might be. Here's what he said. "Whoever looks upon that serpent will live." And Jesus said this. When the Son of Man's lifted up, here's what he said. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Too many times we try to clean ourselves up. Too many times we try to get our own lives in order. I've sat in my office with someone that I know that the Spirit of God was convicted in because they understood that Christ had died for their sins, but yet they would not yet believe because they said, "I've got to get something cleaned up out of my life first." Jesus said, "Here's what you got to do. You got to look on the Son of Man as he's lifted up. And if you'll look upon him and believe, you will be saved." So what does that mean? What does that mean? If we will just look upon him and believe. A lot of people, you see, they wear their crosses around their neck. That's not how we look on him. It's the promise of God that we look at. What has God promised us if we would just look at his son and believe? What has he said to us? He said, for every one of us have sinned. Every one of us. And you know what is strange about the thing? We cannot stop doing it. You know why? Because of the flesh we're wrapped in. That inner man has been made alive, and he's aware that that inner man wants to do the desires of God, but that outer man wants to do the desires of the flesh. Those are the things we wrestle with. Just because we stumble and make mistakes does not mean that we're not his. That what matters whether we're his or not is, do we believe? Do we believe in our heart that what Jesus has done for us was sufficient? Talking to the master here, knew the law. He knew that there had to be a sacrifice. And he knew that that sacrifice had to be offered and the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat of God. And that happened once a year. Nicodemus knew that his sins were not forgiven, but they were covered. Year after year after year after year. I don't know how old Nicodemus was. Maybe he was 60, 75, I don't know how old he was. Maybe he was 40, because I guess that was a good old age back then. I don't know how old he was. And I don't know how many times the high priest had gone into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood of that sacrifice on the mercy seat. He knew what that meant. And he knew the only way that his sins could be forgiven, they had to be a sacrifice. When Jesus was put on the cross, he was our sacrifice. All of us have been condemned. All of us have been sentenced because of sin, that we deserve nothing more than hell. That's all we deserve. And really, even after we come to know him, in our own abilities and our own righteousness, we still deserve hell. But Christ deserves honor and glory, because at his death, he took his own blood and sacrificed it, offered it as an offering in the Holy of Holies not made by man. And there was a blood sacrifice of his blood. And just as God received it from the high priest for that year and covered their sins for that year, he took it from his son. The Bible says, one sacrifice for all sins, for all times. So Nicodemus here, he's got a dilemma here. Now, do we continue on the way that we were, or do by faith I believe? You know, probably at this point Nicodemus just was thinking, man, what in the world is he talking about? And wandered on about his business. But he understood one thing. There was something different about Jesus. When he died on the cross and was put in that grave, when he walked out of that grave, the world knew he was different. The world knew that he was the promise of God. God in the garden promised to send the seed of the woman that would go, that was against the seed of the enemy, and that he would fight us back to himself. Jesus came in this world to destroy the works of the devil. He came for that. He came for everything that the devil had done to break man and destroy man and to send us on a desperate plea to come back to God in every way that we could in the garden. But on the cross, God captured us. He brought us back by faith. Too many times, church members in general miss the mark of their faith. They find themselves fighting their own flesh. And I know how it is right now. The way things are, it wouldn't take much for the devil to capture. It wouldn't take much. But when it comes to the church, God's church, he can't touch a single one. God is saying this. Don't build your hopes on your ability. Build your hope on one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. Don't look for how well you do, how well you live. You look how well he did. Don't you worry about keeping anything, because he is keeping it for us. We don't have to worry about somebody coming and stealing that away from us. Listen, they might take our lives. Someone might take our lives, but they cannot take what Christ has done for us. And church needs to realize that God has saved us for a purpose. And listen to this. Here's the neat thing about this. God has not saved us for our own glory. God does not save for our glory. He saves for his glory. One day in the future, when Christ comes back and God presents the church, we're going to be presented to God as a jewel. Now we are his glory. Heaven will be our glory one day because we will be like him. Let me ask you this. When it comes to your faith, is our faith strong enough, real enough, to bring us together to worship? Is it strong enough to do that? Is it strong enough that I can say, I am faithful? You know where Jesus was on the Sabbath? The Bible says his custom was to be in the temple on the Sabbath. Does our faith, is it real enough to bring us together to worship? Is it real enough that we can face the enemy every single day and defeat him because, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done? Is my faith real enough to look the enemy in the face and name the name of Jesus and claim the word of God and move forward? Is our faith that strong? Is our faith strong enough to look this world in the face and say, there is someone hurting, there is someone sick, there is someone in prison. Can I do something to minister to that person? See, it's not just about being a church member. It's about being a body. It's about being a body of Christ. It's about being a hand, a foot, an ear, a tongue, an eye. It's about being someone who is willing to do whatever it takes and use no excuses not to do what God's laid before us to do. We've got to meet this challenge. We've got to do what we need to do. We need to put a smile on our face because we're saved. We need to keep a smile on our face because He will not let us go. We need to put a smile on our face because He was willing to give me the gift of repentance. We need to put a smile on our face because He will not forsake us. We need to put a smile on our face and do what He's commanded us to do because that is the order of the church. We are to be obedient to Him. He said, if you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I remember I've had a bunch of broke bones in my years. A bunch of them. And I can remember I broke my collarbone, my jawbone, and right in here one time. And they had me taped from my neck down to my waist. Literally, my arm was taped right here. The rest of my body could do hardly nothing because where that injury was so painful. The rest of the body couldn't hardly do anything. And I certainly couldn't move. I wasn't able to maneuver the way I could because part of me was wounded. That's the way the body of Christ is. If we are not focused on being and doing what He's asked us to do, we will be a church whose arm, collarbone, jawbone has been injured. And we will not be able to accomplish what God called us to do. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for the people who work and labor, even behind the scenes. Do those things that nobody sees, that nobody knows about. I can tell you this, God knows about it. That's what it means to be a part of a body. Is doing that which is laid before me, what God shows me. But I've got to be part of the church. And we do that by becoming a believer. We do that by being a believer. Whenever we are believing, we are in Christ. And that's what I mean. That's how we become part of the church. We believe. Because He was lifted up, paid the price for our sins, we believe. I'm so glad that we don't have a bunch of works to do to make that happen. I'm so glad that I don't have to do a bunch of works to keep that supplied to me. But I can tell you what I do have, and you have it too, is you have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, dwelling within your very being. If you, by faith, believe, He is there, and He wants to work through you. He wants to teach you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you to all righteousness. And He wants to show you where the need is. Every one of us has that. All we have to do is bring it together. I'm the first one to tell you, I don't know everything. I know very little, to be a fact. But I do know this. Within the body of Christ, in every church, there are people that God has placed so that that church, that body of believers, can be effective in the work that he's given them to do. So let me ask you this, and I'm going to close with this. If you were to stop and name the things that you believe would make you have favor with God, let me ask you something. Would it be enough to convict you that you were his? Is there enough in our lives, if we were to be put ourselves on trial, that we would be convicted because the evidence is I'm his? If not, we need to do business with God. And I honestly believe we need to do business with God every day, especially now. We need to pray for America. We need to pray about this pandemic. Pray that God will bring this thing to a close. We need to pray for the condition of our nation. Listen to me, folks. God loves, there's not a single person God don't love. There's not a single person that Christ did not die for. We're the ones who do all that other junk. God loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe can be saved. We need to tell the world that. We need to let the world know that Jesus saves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day.